This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Is exactly the name of this show. It's midday. They call me Mark Dolan, and we are going to be going through the biggest stories of the week in the company of two comedic luminaries. Yes, the hilarious comedy double act. Famously, they don't get on, but the comedy do together is magical and brilliant. It's Noah and Jordan. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Thank you.
You weave comedy magic. You're hilarious.
Thank you.
But on a personal level, it's torture for the two of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, painful. You don't know because it's radio, but they're in separate studios. Jordan's in a booth,
yes.
Just for his own safety, really.
Actually, the restraining order actually says he can't be within 10 metres of me.
It's the law. Do you know what I mean?
We have to work with green screens. Yeah. It's very complicated.
It is. I love it, though. I love the tension.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. See, where you suffer, we gain as an audience.
That's why it's so successful.
I'm not convinced about double acts that really, really get on.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I exaggerate for comic effect about the two of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, do you cohabit?
No. We used to. We used to live together.
Yeah. I bet that was somehow a bit wrong, wasn't it?
Well, it was a bit dangerous, wasn't it? Because we used to live above a police station and it had like a slanting roof.
Mm.
And there was no sensible party in our relationship. So when it was snow day, we decided to build a giant snowman and take it out to the slanted roof.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah. This is obviously
making
before
snow angels.
This is before your career really took off.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was a little bit of time for that kind of activity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was still creative work.
Oh, of course, yeah. Of course. Yeah. That snowman was the funniest man I've ever met. The beautiful man.
So now you live separately,
yeah,
and
yes.
I mean, well, you've gained great plaudits. How long have you guys been going together?
Ooh, well, we've known each other 9 years.
9 years,
and
counting.
6 years we've been working together.
It was our 9-year anniversary a few days
ago. Oh my
god!
This is a moment.
This is a moment! I totally didn't remember that.
And what a week! What a week to. And by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
But what a week to remember it, because you've only gone and reminded me about Brad and Angelina.
Oh, don't say it,
which
Mark.
Is the only story in town. Now, I know that there's a huge, unbelievable war of words going on between America and Russia at the moment about about the bringing down of an aid plane in which over 20 people who were in one of the most dangerous parts of the world in order to help the wounded were in themselves caught up in this shocking catastrophe.
Hours.
And have lost their lives. But for me, the biggest story in town is definitely Brad and Angelina. Just
clearly.
You know, it's very important to judge this correctly. And as a broadcaster, I feel that's where I'm at my best.
Yes.
Is to say, hold fire on that one. And that, by the way, in itself was the wrong expression.
Oh,
ouch. Brad and Angelina, of course. I mean, it's just, what are you supposed to do? I haven't done anything valuable since I found out. I've just been in a kind of mental fog. Basic things such as personal hygiene. I definitely haven't brushed my teeth. I've got two kids who are in a state of neglect as we speak.
Dad, please.
Everyone's questioning their own relationships a little.
Well, of course. And I'm not sure when I'm going to come out of this hole. This, of course, as you guys mentioned in the pre-show chat, when we over a glass of champagne in the green room. And, of course, you mentioned Hiddleswift as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, for me, was less of a surprise because their names didn't...
No,
didn't
it wasn't
gel.
I actually don't know their real names, Brangelina. They are just Brangelina to me.
It's just beautiful.
Have you seen their film
with
Brangelina?
Well, they started the merging of names.
Yeah.
They were the first, weren't they?
They did, I think.
Were they?
Yeah.
I thought P. Diddy and J-Lo were the first.
I don't know it.
No?
What was it?
I don't know actually. No, it's. Oh no, it was. No, it was Brad. It was Ben Affleck
and
Brennifer.
I thought they were.
Was
afterwards.
It really Brennifer?
I thought they were afterwards.
Brennifer sounds like a really scary auntie, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Auntie Brennifer.
Go get your Auntie Brennifer. Auntie Brennifer always wants a lip kiss.
Yeah, and she's got a tash.
Come over here, give me a kiss, kill him.
Where's my corn cream?
Ooh.
Nice.
No.
Yeah, that's right. The Hiddleswift thing never really worked. Taylor,
no.
Hiddletom, Swift,
no.
Hid.
It's too forced.
Too much.
Yeah.
It's too forced.
So it's the ultimate showbiz marriage. You know, obviously we don't know the circumstances, but I think it's important we speculate.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel that's why we're here, is to do that. And I've heard, and that's, by the way, that's enough for me.
I was told in a dream.
We've got a very, very considerable legal team here at FUBAR Radio, and they're going to enjoy the next 5 minutes of radio.
Of speculation.
Yeah. Let's speculate about some really rich people with access to lawyers.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So here we go. But what the press is saying, we see now I'm blaming the press. The press are speculating. Well, first of all, we know for a fact, it went into the court papers, that you have this generic expression, which is unreasonable behaviour.
Yeah.
Right. And then there was this disagreement over parenting styles.
Yes.
Right? Now, if that's a problem, then I can tell you that's my whole marriage.
Yeah.
That's basically daily life round at the Dolans. Yes. So we've got to kind of cast that one to one side. But so the allegations are, is that Brad, and by the way, talented, brilliant actors, writers, directors, each of them in their own right. I'm a fan, respectively, of each of them. So here we go. You've got Brad allegedly, maybe drunken rages we've heard about. We've heard about a short fuse, an anger problem, to quote the Mail Online. Mm. We maybe heard about the wacky backy, the jazz cigarettes.
Yes.
They call it it's a spliff.
Kids today.
I know. I'm always having spliffs.
Yeah.
I love spliffs. It's the illegal narcotic marijuana. And I'm constantly rolling up a doobie myself.
With Brad.
Correct. They're breaking the law and you get really stoned, man, and then massively hungry.
Yeah.
So there's the jazz cigarettes. There's the drinking, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, I mean, everything I'm saying now, you guys are like, I love this man. I'd like to be friends with him.
Yeah, he sounds great.
Do you know
what's
what I mean?
Angelina's problem?
Who doesn't like...
I would like him to adopt me because she is having custody of all six. I think he should adopt. Well, he could adopt you.
I could be the
seventh
child.
Although you're more Angelina's thing, aren't you?
We're on the radio. I better explain that Noah is a very Caucasian.
Very Caucasian.
Character.
I'm Casper,
as
the friendly
Caucasian
ghost.
As I come.
You're whiter than like Nigel Farage's wet dream, aren't you?
Oh yeah, you really are.
And Jordan is a man of delicious colour.
Yeah, chocolate man. They called me.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure.
I would call you that. I think Benedict Cumberbatch would get in a pickle trying to describe you.
Really?
As he has done in the past. Yeah. Do you not remember that? He went on TV and he used the expression "coloured" to describe a black man.
Yeah. And he was like, "Was that the right thing?"
Who knew someone called Benedict would be out of touch? I mean, go figure. So, and then, as you say, what we know about Angelina is just this habit of buying children.
Yes.
And it is, they are, I've got to be honest, children are Moorish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Once you buy one.
And I mean that in the best possible sense. They're a brilliant company. I own two myself.
Where'd you buy them from?
Cambodia, actually.
Nambia.
There they don't care.
No.
There they don't even charge.
No.
Let's go take them.
Take the child.
Please take it.
It's good that we're not making light of tragic situations.
Of course not.
What are you going to do? This is our... Look, the reason why is because this is our way of coping with what is an earth-shattering piece of news. And we're all damaged by it, are we not? I mean, I know everyone says it's a private matter for their family, but because they are global celebrities, I feel like we are members of that family.
Yeah.
I'm like second cousin Mark. I don't know whether we're at that stage. If I'm in the family at Christmas, do I send a gift or not? I don't know whether I'm that close.
I like to dub myself the third child's imaginary best friend.
That's perfect. That reflects your wonderful level of self-esteem.
Thank you.
That you're not even a tangible figure.
A real person to them.
I do feel... I mean, look, do you know something? Apparently, as a family, they cannot go out without an army of security. I mean, there's just no...
Or an army of children.
Exactly.
And maybe they are soldiers, the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why they hired them. Got them from Cambodia.
Are we to feel sorry for this, ultimately very, very privileged group of people? But do you realise, you look at this, and is it a happy day for regular folk like us to just go... How can you possibly have a normal life with that level of fame and wealth and locked in their Hollywood Hills mansions?
Yeah.
Is it really an existence?
I don't know. I mean...
Jordan's given a look which is, I wouldn't mind trying it for a while. Give me 3 months married to Angelina Jolie in a compound in Los Feliz.
You might be the only one she gives back to Nambia. Yeah. She tries to sell to Nambia.
Well, apparently she didn't like his strict parenting style.
His strict parenting style?
That's one thing I heard.
Oh, really? Was it like this is not how you roll a doobie?
Yeah, come on, stop eating my Cheetos.
Where's the roach material, you little idiot?
It must be hard for both of them because they're actors, so they're constantly studying for a role. So they might like kind of adopt some of those characteristics. And Brad Pitt's always like Southern American, hard man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like he could like go transfer into his life.
Takes it home.
But what it means, boys, Is there Angelinas on the market?
Dun, 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 Jennifer dun, Aniston, lock up your husband. Yeah. Lock her up. Lock him up.
I mean, this would be great to see the Jennifer and Jen and Brad back together.
Oh,
that would
can't
be
happen.
The ultimate friend
episode.
Closure. I need it.
Yeah,
she's moved on.
I loved all the Jennifer
she's
Aniston
married.
Memes.
She's moved on.
It would be amazeballs, though.
Has
it
she
would
moved
be
so on, though? Good, though? Has she moved on?
Do you ever move on from Brad? She only exactly. recently said in an interview, because I have time on my hands too, yeah. when I'm not making snowmen, yeah. I'm reading like online magazines from America that you haven't even heard of. Welcome to my world. And she said, you know, he's you know, the great love of my life. So, you know, they're, and they're now friendly again.
Exactly. I think it's like when...
was that from a celebrity source?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
An inside celebrity source.
I don't think she'll ever get... She'll be off Brad. It's like saying, I don't eat beef anymore because it's too expensive. But then eventually it'll be on the market again at a cheaper price and I'll go back to it. So I think that's what the relationship between Brad and Jennifer is.
Or it could just be horse repackaged as beef.
Mm, so. That's true.
You guys are doing, I've got to say, bringing some great metaphor today.
Life is a metaphor.
See, I don't get that level of guests that are willing to sort of segue into the price of supermarket beef.
Or is it beef?
Off the
beef
back of a
is
celebrity.
Important to us.
And then you managed to get the horse meat in as well, which is just a touch of satire.
Mm. There you go.
All right. Well, what we're going to do, we'd love to know your thoughts on this. Could it be that this is all a ruse? They'll get back together? Because, I mean, they've got so many things that connect their lives, mainly 11 children, as we've pointed out. Yeah. But there could be a reconciliation. It would be a delicious thing. But where were you when you found out the news? I'd like to ask you guys at home at FUBAR Radio, dolan@fubarradio.com, where were you when you found out the news about Brangelina? Where were you guys? What was happening?
I was eating lunch and I was told and I didn't believe it. I actually genuinely was like, nope, that's not true.
I'm not having this.
No. I was like, that can't be. They're like...
Talk to the hands.
Yeah. And then I slapped them with my salami. And I was like, that cannot ever happen. They are the pillar of celebrity marriages. They are like the god and goddess.
You slapped someone with a salami that told you the news.
Yeah, out of anger.
I like the idea that in your life there's somebody that brings you this news. Who is it?
It then turns into a Monty Python
sketch. Do you live with some kind of Fleet Street hack?
Actually, my girlfriend
Jordan,
is...
Jordan, exclusive.
Whispers into my ear.
Yeah.
No!
Put down a salami.
Salami slap. No, yeah. My girlfriend's actually very hot on celebrity gossip.
What a shame you didn't end that sentence halfway through.
My girlfriend's just very hot.
My girlfriend's very hot.
We were like, we're getting really jealous there. Yeah. You're like, no, she's physically unattractive, but her knowledge of the celebrity brief is second to none.
She's amazing.
Is she hot as well as being hot on celebrity gossip?
She is a hot slicer hummer.
Oh, good.
Not
the
car.
The hummer. Congratulations. So she brought you the news?
Yes, she did.
And was she in a bad state with the news? Like, did she seem tearful as she told you, or was she giving you the poker face, or what happened?
She had a weird face of glee and joy. I think she enjoys it. She feasted upon it. She loved
Jennifer
it.
Jennifer Aniston fan.
Yeah, she's a big
Jennifer
Aniston
fan. Hashtag Team Jen.
Yeah, she's Team Jen.
So, well, I can tell you that I was getting a particularly stubborn splinter out of my big toe when I got the news. Ooh. Ooh. And that was the last thing I needed. This was, I think, what you could call a perfect storm. Ooh. Of physical toe pain plus bad Hollywood news.
Yeah.
All in one hellish moment. And at that point, you're like, this is going to be a terrible day. End of. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing. What's going to happen to rescue my day now at this point? And the splinter had got to that point. I'd neglected it, and it was there was a hint, a suggestion of infection there.
Oh, can I ask how you got the splinter?
Because I spent quite a lot of time barefoot on floorboards. Because that's how I roll.
Yeah.
And
or walk.
At home. Basically, in the last credit crunch, I sold all my carpet on eBay. So I've got very sort of blistery floorboards now. No, I did that thing that people do, don't they? Which is you sort of try to reclaim the floorboards underneath in the living room. And I did that, sanded it all myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I did it very badly. So basically, just any walk in my living room without... like Timberland boots is essentially Russian roulette.
Wow. Oof.
With small shards of untreated oak.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. So that's what's happened. I've impaled myself and neglected it. And so I've had to... It's a little top tip. I mean, I don't think everyone knows really, but you take a sewing needle. and you burn it with a lighter.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which is quite exciting. That's the closest I'll ever get to being a character from Trainspotting. Feels slightly criminal already. So I do that, and apparently that kills the bugs. Like on the actual
needle. Yeah.
And then what you do is, I think there's really only, you can try and squeeze a splinter out, but essentially if it's in, you're going to have to scratch it out. You go in from the top and you just sort of scrape, you go along the line of where the splinter is, and you basically rip skin off your
Just got to cut
toe.
Right in there.
You got to cut right. Have you done it yourself?
Oh, yeah.
When was your last splinter?
On holiday. Lots of splinters.
Which country?
It was Italy.
Typical.
Yeah, those
typical
Italian floorboards.
Typical Italian, I've got to say. I don't want to indulge in racial stereotypes,
course,
but it's got to be one of the most splintery countries in the world.
It was rife with splinters.
I think they eat so much carbohydrate, it means that their attention to detail is lacking because they're just tired.
Yeah, like just constantly in a food coma.
Don't you think?
Come on. Oh, God.
You try living on a diet of like too much coffee, white flour based goods such as pizza and pasta and, you know, got carbonara.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's asking for trouble, isn't it?
It is.
It's a cocktail.
It's a cocktail of splinters and other dangerous things.
Now, it's 12:16. You guys, I've got to say, are bringing your A game as we speak. Double A game, in fact. I couldn't be enjoying this more. And I know, because I'm the conduit of the audience, if I'm having a good time, they are.
Having a good time.
Yeah. And when I interact with them on social media, they always say that's not correct.
You are the opposite.
And they love to disagree because they're such rascals.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is we're going to keep this comedy cavalcade rolling along. We're going to talk about hotel nightmares. As it turns out, hotels half the time don't clean the sheets in between visitors to the room. So hotel nightmares is the thing. Awkward places you've run into an ex after someone met someone at a swingers club. Is your boss a psychopath? Do you have to be a psychopath to be successful? And we'll make that relevant to comedy and whether the richest, most successful comedians are also terrible human beings. Furious nodding from my colleagues there. We'll get into that. And much, much more. We've got so many big stories to get through. So what we'll do, we're going to talk sexting as well. At FUBAR Radio, donut@FUBARradio.com is how you interact with us. We'll do now, what we'll do is we'll play a record and it's Beck and it's Peaches and Cream. Don't go anywhere. It's Noah and Jordan in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It's FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. I know. Thank you. You're welcome.
Brown breath blue. Ooh.
presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
One of the sexiest things that someone's ever said to me was when I was very much like doing the stuff, we're getting down to it. I was clearly very much getting to the point where I was just like, I want to come. You know when you get in there and you're
and
just
that's
like
allowed.
You're like, I want this. And I think he could tell in terms of my body language that I was just like gearing up.
Good. Yeah.
But then he just stopped and said to me, he was just like, you're going to come when I want you to come. And I was just like, oh my God!
Baller, that's a nice one. Good job.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6pm on FUBAR Radio. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio, it's 12:23, and Mark Dolan here, Mark Dolan Eats News, in the company of Noah James and Jordan Maxwell, a.k.a. Noah and Jordan. Lads, you are basically huge comedy stars, YouTube generation.
Yeah. Children of.
So
children
when of. You started it, was it a hobby?
I think we started writing as a hobby. We enjoyed making each other laugh.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's write it down and see if anyone else finds it funny.
Yeah.
Not many did.
Yeah, and our first experience of digital content was really making a web series about our experiences of drama school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just went into sketches, didn't it?
Sketches, so, live shows.
So which drama school were you at?
We're at Mount View.
Which is a really good one.
So they say.
Yeah.
It's a very defensive answer.
Yeah.
Is Mount View, is that a bit sort of toe-tapping, sort of showbiz glittery, or is it more kind of Harold Pinter, Stanislavski?
It's actually the best of both, isn't
it? Yeah, it's got two courses. You've got the musical theatre course, which is la-la-la-la-la-la, and then you've got the acting side, which is more...
Is that what you guys did?
We did the acting. Yeah. It's the straight actors. But,
but the thing is, it's very useful, because when I watch your stuff, I can see that even though what you're taking what you learned and doing silly stuff with it, but it's still very well applied acting skills, which the best comedy sketches... require. Yeah. If you look at, you know, Little Britain, stuff like that, you know, those guys are great performers, very sort of skilled performance artists.
Yeah.
Because I think some stand-ups think, oh, I'll do a bit of sketch work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always come off. Or a sitcom. Massively, correct. Yeah. So you did that, and it's grown and grown. And how's the business model? Does it work now? Because you've got enough sort of support and clicks and ads and everything.
When a sketch does well, 200,000 people will see it, and that works really nicely.
That's amazing.
We started to get interest from places like Funny or Die over in America, which is great, and they share our sketches, and we're working on a partnership with them so we can be exclusive to them.
Hello.
Where they fund the sketches.
Ka-ching. Drinks are on you.
That's very good.
Tap water. Yeah. All round, everywhere. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. So that's it. So it's really building, and you, I guess, must be delighted that you haven't faced the gatekeepers of comedy that we've had previously, such as Channel 4 and BBC and all the rest of it, where there's somebody called Ian whose opinion it's going to be about whether you're funny or not.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about Ian anymore. You've gone past Ian.
Well, we still meet Ian every now and then.
Yeah. And Ian says, you have a great meeting with Ian. It goes really well.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens.
But it's like, we want a traditional British 30-minute sitcom. And we're a bit more like, we would like to do something really fun that doesn't really necessarily follow any story and can kind of go off into
so
any
So I guess
world.
What you would like is you would like the sort of the platform and the reach that being with a terrestrial channel would give you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what you also want is the freedom and independence creatively
that
online gives you, because you don't have anyone telling you what to do or what's funny.
Sure.
You basically slavishly follow the audience and the likes and the hits.
Yeah.
Well, it's what Netflix does so good. They give the creators the control and then they just create these really original shows.
Mm.
So I think TV could learn a lot by doing that.
So do you think TV is ultimately a distance from where they need to be in terms of understanding the modern era and what viewers want and how especially young people consume content? Do you think they're a bit dinosaur like the main channels?
I don't know. I don't think you can blanket that. I think that some of them like obviously still do really great shows comedy wise, drama wise, thriller wise. Mm. But there are some shows you just go, I don't know how that made it. That knowing the barriers you've got to pass to get your show onto TV, and you see some shows, and you go, I don't know how that made that past all those barriers.
Yeah, I think you have to think of it. You know, Mrs. Brown's Boys is like the punching bag for a lot of critics. And Brendan O'Carroll, the creator, said that I don't really care what the critics think because there is an audience. And TV forgot that audience for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think you've just got to look at a show for what it is. And,
yeah.
You know, we just want creative freedom to create something completely different.
But also this tells me that you are kind of both serious about comedy and about your jobs because you acknowledge something like Mrs. Brown's Boys, which is not to everyone's taste, but you acknowledge, because you're both professionals, yeah, that it's a hit show. And that's A, I mean, when any sitcom gets on TV, even if I don't like it, I always go, well done for writing it,
yeah,
managing to send it to someone,
yeah,
and yeah, like finishing it. Because, I mean, most people have written half a sitcom.
Exactly.
Auntie has written half a sitcom. Everyone has, you know what I mean?
Everyone harbours dreams of being a writer.
Set in a hotel. Yeah, it's quite unoriginal. But
I want to hear the rest of it, actually.
Yeah, it's okay. And but yeah, so to actually get it and then get it commissioned and then put it on TV, and it's a huge amount of effort and will. And when people do it, you're like, well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you find it funny, then that's a bonus, whatever.
Yeah.
So you have got brilliant, some great irons in the fire, one of which is a 90s style pop video.
Yes. Yeah. So we wrote a song a couple of months ago, which we won't reveal what it's about, but it's kind of got it's got a very boy band 90s feel to it, which we both loved, the old Westlifes and the Backstreet Boys and the Boyzones and the Boys to Men. So we thought, let's do a homage to them.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. Is it a little bit of, it's a lot of mocking and a little bit of love too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of beach time.
Although, you know, you got very into it. I mean, there was a lot of body rolling going
on.
And you're good at it. It's quite it's quite worrying.
Yeah, you know. Jordan, did you wear a baseball cap the wrong way around? So that the clip bit where you adjust the size is sort of pressing against your forehead?
Unfortunately, I did not. But
I think you missed a trick there. What was happening in the late 90s? Was it worn at the sides, coquettishly, with the sort of peak of the cap over your ear?
No, I think it was backwards.
Was it backwards? Some people would put tufts of hair through the actual
Yes, that was really nice.
No, we went for bandanas. More of the American. I had curtains.
Yeah.
And you trimmed your beard really thin.
Really
just
thin.
Just so you could just tell it was there.
Almost looked like it was penciled on.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was really great for a week when I had to go around with wearing that.
Did either of you sport stonewashed dungarees?
Ooh, no, we went for matching white cargo pants, white jumpers, matching white linen shirts.
Yeah,
we frolicked on the beach.
I'm imagining if the budget had stretched to it, there would have been highlights in your hair.
Oh, I really wanted highlights.
If only.
You've no idea.
Yeah,
just curtains, just blonde streaks would have been the dream. But alas, time. We were on the beach at 5 in the morning. So,
wait a minute. This is great that you actually went and did it. Did you have was there a crew?
Yeah. We had a really
great... It was a proper shoot.
Yeah, definitely.
Was there a table with an urn on it and biscuits?
We had croissants and fruit.
This is amazing.
And popcorn.
Basically, there was catering.
Oh, yeah. We never go out without catering, do we?
This guy makes a mean brownie.
Well done.
It's what I'm known for.
It does sound like a euphemism, doesn't it?
I said it, I was like,
I know, it's the spectre of IBS, and I'm touched by it myself. So that's amazing, and you shot that. How, by the way, I mean, this is amazing to me. How does that get funded? Is it mates and favours, or you invest,
it's
or what do you do? Speculate to accumulate?
So yeah.
Our last live show, we put all of the money that we made from that into the pot, and then the rest of it was really mates and favours. We've got a great team, and
amazing.
When you had that money, did any of it did you go on some sort of go out for dinner a couple of times?
No, because then we'd have to be social.
And the restraining order, which we've already got between us.
Because I can't be trusted with pots of money and stuff. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, we're going to invest this, but first.
first,
let's go to Westfield and have some sushi.
I hear that you sushi do great Blue Mondays.
Yes, they do, big time. So that's amazing and brilliant. And so you've done, is it shot now? It's all in the can.
It's in the can.
And is it being edited?
It's now being edited and loved and.
Great. I mean, I feel like in a good way there are echoes of David Brent Life on the Road, in a sense that it's like a comedy take on music, but it's still probably a good song, I'm guessing.
It's actually it's really, really catchy.
Yeah.
Really catchy.
So you work quite hard on the melody, and that's what I like when people like yourselves send up comedy. They're terribly serious about it. Very detailed.
Yeah.
You have to be, almost.
Yeah. Because obviously doing a spoof song is great, and but writing an original song is actually really hard to do.
Well, we're big fans, aren't we, of Lonely Island, Andy Samberg. So we really wanted to write, and we will write, more original songs. Mm. So we work with a really, really great guy, and it was weird being in the studio.
Oh, weird or horrible.
You realise it's a really funny idea, but then when you get to the mic, you realise you have to actually sing it.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And everyone thinks they sound great in the car.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had the studio, and there was an echo on our voice.
Yeah, it sounded so good.
I thought, oh, my God, I sound like a pop singer? Should I be a pop singer?
Yeah.
And then I listened to it afterwards. I was flat.
It was awful. We actually managed to do, when in our harmonies, a bum note harmony. He was so high and I was such a bum note, they actually made a harmony.
That's amazing.
It was fantastic.
Did you sort of cup the headphones with your ears as you sang in that sort of Bono sort of way?
Yeah.
Do they know it's Christmas?
Lots of eyes closing.
Yeah. And was there a documentary of the making? Because I like the idea of like you've just laid down a vocal and then just a quick peace sign to the camera through the glass.
A little look, a little wink.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe a self-deprecating remark like, "Okay, tea time."
Okay, guys. No, there was lots of pictures, but no actual filming documentation.
And are we? I mean, I'm so excited about this. It's going to be huge. Will you try to release it onto the hit parade?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think it could.
Imagine your first number one. What about that? Imagine if it became a beast that you had no control over. Imagine if it was like the plot line of the film The Producers, where you develop, you have fans.
Where did we go right?
Who just really.
That's the one.
That's the one.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? Ooh. An accidental hit.
I know.
West End musical, book deals. I mean, this could be really like.
I do fear that people will like the characters that we play in the music video so much they want us to then do it more.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to go on to actually be a real boy band. and do live.
Go on X Factor, come second, and then break America.
Oh, the dream.
The dream. Let's do it.
So that's amazing. I think it's going to be incredible. Are we allowed to know what the song is called?
Yeah. Let's give you an exclusive.
Come on, then.
A FUBAR exclusive. The song is called
Man Crush.
Oh my God, this is genius. This is perfect. Which is a lovely sort of sentiment of romantic emotion. Yeah. It's also my favourite sexual position.
Really?
Yeah.
The man crush.
Google it. What you need is you need two other willing male partners to help.
With us as well. So four of us.
Yeah. It's basically pretty full on.
Wow.
It is, yeah. There's a place
video.
In Soho.
That doesn't mean man
what
crush.
I can do is I can call ahead when you're coming and they'll take care of it.
We'll do a remix of Man Crush and we can involve the other two.
Yeah.
The part two.
Keith Vaz was a proponent of the Man Crush.
Oh.
Yeah.
That worries me.
I know. What a thought. Well, okay. Oh my God. I really enjoyed the chat with you about that. So watch this space. Basically, people, if they're not familiar with your work, they should go on YouTube and they should Google
Noah and Jordan
search your names and it's all there. How was the switch to live, by the way, having inhabited the web all that time and then going and facing real people who are like drinking lager and watching you and breathing near you and looking at you with their big eyes?
You know, I think our experiences as actors has helped. We weren't really too worried about that.
Yeah.
No.
But
unlike acting, you kind of got to break the fourth wall, haven't you?
Which we
you
enjoy
sort of
that,
say
though.
Hello to them a bit, don't you?
Yeah. We like that audience interaction.
We did enjoy that. We actually experimented with our sketches, dropping character all the time.
Yeah.
There was a sketch he genuinely hated.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to talk to the audience about how much he hated this sketch that we were doing.
Brilliant.
Mid-level sketch. But it was great being able to write, because we found that writing sketches for online and writing sketches for a live show are very different processes.
Yes.
So we enjoyed doing that. It was good.
You guys are so modern. Basically, what you do is future-proof.
We tried to.
You can't really be gotten rid of. I mean, Ian can't call you into the office on a Friday afternoon and go, guys, it's over.
No, he can't.
No, he can't.
We'll live on Ian.
You've actually called
Ian.
I know you don't have an office, but you met Ian at a branch of Eat in Soho. And you've told him that it's over.
Yeah. Ian.
That's what you've done.
Packy things.
By the way, wouldn't it be terrible if there was someone at Channel 4 who was a key commissioning editor who was called Ian?
I think they're actually
And he's listening to this, and he thinks that I'm saying this based on personal experience. At which point, that creates a major strategic headache for me.
He may think he's been fired.
Yeah. It's very possible.
I'm not going to go to work today.
I tell you who should be fired are the people who are housekeepers at hotels. Because it turns out that an eerily large number of hotels don't bother washing the sheets. When you go to a hotel, and in the course of your work, hotels feature
sometimes
you're touring artists.
Oh, yeah.
And when you take Man Crush around the country, mm-hmm. there's going to be a bit of hashtag Premier Inn action.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Until it breaks, and then you'll be at a like Holiday Inn Express.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy. Maybe. Maybe.
I see a little double day Hilton thing.
Double tree.
Is that the one?
Double tree.
Good knowledge.
Thank you.
But I think... All right. A hotel room. I think it's a bit like a relationship. Okay. So when you start dating someone, and whether that's a female or a male, and a male and a male, or whatever you do, I think you sort of do a little trick on yourself, which is you go, this person I'm dating is essentially brand new, a virginal figure that's untouched. I think you sort of tell yourself that, and they tell themselves that about you.
Yes.
That's why, like, first dates, you don't talk about exes or anything like that. I think there's a conceit. This is, I'm new, and you're new, and let's do this.
Let's start afresh.
Correct. Let's start literally afresh, right? And I think we do, as consumers, the same thing with hotels, which is you walk into a hotel room, and you sort of just mentally trick yourself that it's a brand new room with new sheets and a new bed, and everything's just, you know what I mean? You don't, like, because if ever you process it, like, how many people have slept in that bed and snored on that bed and sweated in that bed? You don't go there, do you?
No. You don't actually ever. Now I go there now.
Now you go there because there's an investigation into hotels, okay? And Inside Edition, who are in, like, an online investigative newspaper, stayed in 9 upmarket hotels in New York, allegedly found 3 hadn't changed or washed their bedding before new customers arrived. At a Marriott Residence Inn in Manhattan, they sprayed a message using invisible paint that easily comes off in the laundry on the bottom sheet of the bed. And the words, which can only be seen by a UV light, read, "I slept here." Rather cunning on their part.
Yeah.
But I suppose an idle housekeeper, or indeed a penny-pinching hotel management, will kind of look at the sheets and go, they're all right, that'll do.
Yeah.
And just pull it back on.
A little dust down.
Does it matter?
Yeah. Yeah, it does matter.
I think it does.
This thing has
got to
be clean, isn't it?
I don't like is I always think the bed sheets, if they don't manage to wash them every time, although they should, but it's those extra sheets which are like an embroidered thing which lies at the end of the bed.
Yeah.
What are they about? Do they have a name? This sort of extra sheet, which sometimes it's only half a sheet. It goes halfway up the bed. It's almost decorative.
Yeah.
I think it's decorative.
Decorative sheets.
Now,
those
things are never washed.
No, never. They're never washed.
And have you not ever sat bare-assed on one of those?
Yeah, all the time.
Yes, I know. How many other people have done that?
Oh, gosh.
It's like Man Crush all over again.
And the other seating. The armchairs and the office chairs that they have in them.
I'm all over those armchairs like a rash. I will. It's quite shocking, isn't it? Have you had any bad hotel experiences?
Well, we are bad hotel experiences, aren't we?
Yes.
We were in Miami for a web festival, and we were so hungover that we ordered pizza from across the road.
Yeah.
And we ate. It was like a 2 for Tuesday kind of Papa John's or Domino's thing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And their pizzas are so large. We ate one between us in the morning. We went out and got drunk and ate the second one later.
Yeah.
And
you're a pair of legends.
There was, pepperoni all over the sheets and tomato.
Yeah.
So if someone inherited our sheets,
you know. It's going to look like a really wrong version of that scene in Nine and a Half Weeks.
Yeah.
There's like sort of just jalapeno peppers just sort of
rubbed into the air. That decorative sheet.
I mean, we weren't proud of ourselves with the gluttony.
No, we weren't. But
that was the point of the trip, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, yeah.
To indulge in all that Miami has to offer.
Miami, it's great. It's a town which is so wrong, it's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although it's an interesting place in that it does feel, doesn't it, with all the Art Deco, there's quite a few sort of creaking hotels that obviously used to be the lap of luxury, which are now really seedy and gone, yeah. gone all sort of, you know, rusty and horrible, yeah. like faded grandeur. There's yeah. something a little bit sort of 50s nostalgia yeah. about Miami, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is a kind of a bit like this used to be really, really cool and hip, and but now it's a bit like, oh, okay, where's yeah. the
post-war redesign? 1950s, the feel-good factor, the yes. American economy growing, technology, all that stuff.
We actually stayed in a hotel in Weymouth recently, and we stayed in a hotel that actually epitomised that. Used to be really, really, really grand yeah. and luxurious, maybe like the 40s and 50s, yeah. but now just looks really yeah. creaky and scary.
When we were driving over the hill, yeah. we were like, oh my gosh, that hotel's really
posh. It was like a really grand semicircle with like white pillars and like yeah. a blue top. It looked really luxurious.
And he got there.
And then a lot closer.
And inside it was basically a sitcom.
It was horrible.
We had a couple next door to us.
Yeah.
And they were in separate beds.
Yeah.
And she was quite overweight and in a bra.
Yeah.
And they were watching Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
And he was
thought you were saying they were watching Great Bitches. I've seen that bitches. Film. How did they get that on a hotel TV?
Illegal stream.
And he
Great
was
Bitches
on...
and Man Crush are my favourite films.
Is Man Crush a film?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's four Ooh. Minutes long and it's pretty powerful.
Oh. I'm so Googling that.
Yeah, and he was on the end of the bed, just in his pants. And he was like cradling his tummy like a baby because it was quite large and wafting himself yeah. with a newspaper.
And Legend. We could see this.
And they looked at us like we were weird.
Their door was open, by the way. That's the how we could see this. Happening.
They were like, oh, there's an interracial gay couple. Yeah. That's unacceptable.
Sometimes a shiver goes down your spine if you have a really inexpensive hotel, because I was doing some filming in Miami and we were struggling to find accommodation. And we did stay in one of these hotels that would have been just unbelievable in 1958. It was Art Deco. It was really a tall block, you know, it was all white walls and, you know. You know where the metalwork is connected to the actual exterior of the building. The metalwork has rusted, and then that rust has sort of dripped onto the brickwork. So it's gone a bit sort of Anthony Perkins, you know, Psycho sort of thing. Oof. A bit sort of what was the hotel in Psycho?
Bates Motel. Mm. Oh no, yes.
And we went in there, and we got the tariff, and the room rate was $55 a night. And this was like 3-4 years ago. I'm Ooh. Like, that's just, we're on a budget. I want to save money. That's too little.
That's too cheap.
That's the kind of, you go into the hotel room and I just went to bed fully clothed. Just like with a coat.
Cradling all your possessions.
Yeah. Really not nice. Hotels I find unnerving are the ones that have, you have to put your room card in at the elevator just to get upstairs. Because what to me that implies is crime has happened in the past. Yeah, yeah. Before that solution was available, people just perished.
Roamed the hallways, attacking people.
There's certain cards you can't go to the top.
Yeah.
That's for the really yeah. posh people who have paid more money.
Your card doesn't go here, sir. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about success, which you guys are on the road to. And a study has been made into psychopaths. And the headline in today's Mail Online is your boss a psychopath, right? A study finds up to 1 in 5 CEOs have high levels of psychopathic traits. And in fact, there's a book out that is by an author, and it's a psychotherapist who works with psychopaths and helps psychopaths who are in jail, who have committed crimes, A, to understand them and deconstruct them, and B, to sort of help them and cure them. And I'm just wondering whether if you look at very successful people, including in the world of entertainment, that a certain lack of compassion and a certain kind of like undiluted self-belief would lend itself to a successful career in comedy, for example, to have no self-doubt whatsoever. Politics would be another example. Mm. The music industry.
Yep.
We've all met and worked with people who have just zero self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And we envy them. But you're like, well, actually, maybe it's great professionally, but it's a bit dysfunctional, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Imagine them on a date. Someone just has zero self-doubt. And that you just couldn't, they just wouldn't, never had any sort of like worries or...
Well, that's it. It's on a personal level, it's kind of never going to work.
Yeah.
Is it?
No. If they spent their life managing people, like, they would manage relationships, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Could you do a spreadsheet for me because your expenditure's too high and I don't like how much you're spending on your groceries.
Well, the thing is, no empathy. If you look at it in politics, for example, zero empathy is probably a tremendous political tool.
Yeah.
Because it means you just... push through with your policies. I mean, maybe Margaret Thatcher was a bit like that. Nick Clegg, in his biography or autobiography, he said that George Osborne was like didn't care about the impact of his policies. Which is why he was able to just hold his nose and do it anyway.
I think you'd need that, though, in those sort of high-powered jobs, because otherwise you'd go home at night and you would be haunted by the decisions and the things and the people that you're affecting and hurting. So you have to you must have to have that level of, like, what I'm doing is absolutely right, and I believe in that 100%. Otherwise, I think it would actually destroy your personal
life. I think what it proves is that a lot of people working in show business and also a lot of people running their own businesses are psychopaths, and basically, in a way, they're terrible human beings who you wouldn't leave in the care of your children. You wouldn't want to go for a beer with them. But such is the unique role of running a company or being an entertainer or something, that this is like where this is the place for them in our society, is a really high-powered job.
Yeah.
But actually, doing something more meagre would be a problem. These people are kind of unemployable if they're not in charge.
They need that high-level position in order to have a job.
In order to have their maybe you're thinking a kind of Gordon Ramsay type person.
Yeah.
No, he just doesn't scream middle management, does he, Gordon?
No. They have to be able to crush dreams daily.
Mm. Yeah.
So that requires a certain
And also,
person.
I think being the boss allows your personality foibles to be indulged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The narcissism.
Concern, isn't it?
Not for us, because we're not bosses.
Who's in charge? By the way, who's in charge? Which one of you, who makes stuff happen? Who organises the meetings and who sets the agenda?
Me.
Okay, love it. So you're the administrator.
Yeah.
Are you McCartney to his Lennon?
More like his lemon.
I suppose I've got elements of the psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say?
26%.
26%.
Of your personality, I'd say, is perhaps
I think you have to be, because you're the complete opposite, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't do well with organisation or
work.
But what you are is perfect, isn't it?
There's that.
But you're like, you know, what are you? Well, you're perhaps the creative spark.
I think that maybe I think my relaxed nature perhaps is a great balance, though.
Well done. Mm.
And I think that enables things.
So you're the weed.
I'm the weed.
Your input is, you know, let's stop working. Let's go to Nando's.
Exactly. Let's watch football.
It's helpful to have someone in the team that suggests those things.
It is always like you just go, should we go get lunch? I'm really hungry now. We ate 2 hours ago. And still I'm fatter than you.
Now, you are both very gorgeous physical specimens, and I know that we wouldn't change a thing. But there's a story in the press today, and it's a surgeon, okay? He's a neurosurgeon, and he wants to carry out the first human head transplant. And he's outlined plans to conduct Frankenstein experiments to reanimate human corpses. Now, we know that if you need a new liver, you can get on a waiting list. They can put a new liver in your body. Mm-hmm. Larry Hagman's story.
Oh, yeah.
Played J.R. Ewing in Dallas. Yeah. Are you familiar with his work?
Yes.
Bit of a
legend. Yes, yeah. Love him.
Here's what a great human being he was. Larry Hagman was a raging, like, Olympic-level alcoholic. Like, he was a world-class drinker. And when he acted in Dallas, which was a demanding job, and it was the biggest show on TV in the 80s, what he used to do is he'd get up at 5 a.m. He had a routine, as all good alcoholics do.
Yeah.
The best he had a routine, right? There's a strange discipline to heavy drinkers sometimes.
Yeah, there is.
Because they really, like, they have a plan, they stick to it.
Yeah.
So he used to get up at 5 a.m. and he would learn his lines, right? He would spend 2 hours learning his lines. And at 7 a.m., his reward was the first bottle of Dom Perignon.
Yes.
So at 7 a.m., champagne time, because I've learned my lines. And then essentially he just sort of medicated during the day. But he said for that whole series, literally, I was loaded for every show.
Wow.
And if you watch Dallas back, there's a kind of wateriness in his eyes.
Which redness to the cheek.
Yeah, and in some ways it's probably what John Hann was aiming for in Mad Men, which is this sense of sort of seamy, slightly drunken, but also business entrepreneurial genius, and also a psychopath.
Yeah.
But it added authenticity. If you watch it, he was drunk.
Wow.
But wonderfully controlled.
Yeah, which you know. All alcoholics have to be.
Yeah, that's it. Smoky eyes.
Functioning.
So he was a great, I'm be a very big fan of his. Anyhow, so what happened is that he got so ill that they said, well, what's going to happen now is you're going to die. That's the first thing. You're definitely going to die. We've got that. That's taken care of. Your liver is over. It's game over. Finito. So what you can do is we might be able to find you a liver, but you're going to have to change your lifestyle. So he said, okay, so I get a new liver and I stop drinking and all that stuff. And they went, that's exactly right. So from one day to the next, he stopped drinking. Not bad. And he got a new liver, right?
Yay.
And he lived with that liver for like over 20 years. And then he went back to his surgeon or whatever, the consultant. And he's an old man at this point, maybe early 80s, so late 70s. And they went, this liver is now on its way out. So what we'll do is we'll, you know, you're fit. You didn't drink since. We'll organise the waiting list. New liver, Larry. I think we can do it. And he said, no, let's not. And they said, what do you mean, let's not? He said, because I was given a second chance, and now it's someone else's turn.
Aww.
Larry Hagman, everyone.
Larry Hagman.
Who opted for someone else to get a second chance. Not bad, is it?
That is great. That's really nice. Is he dead
legend.
Now?
Legend. He is dead. He drank himself to death, I'm afraid. Back on the Dom Perignon.
Fair enough.
Sorry, he's like, what fuck?
He was drunk when he made that decision. Yeah. Then.
Shivers Regal whiskey. He was ripped to the tits. He'd been in
the... Let someone else have it. All right, yeah.
It was party time. Yeah. No, he did. He didn't drink himself to death. No, he just died an old man, but a Hollywood legend. Yeah, so there you go. That's my... So, I mean, here's the question. If you could... So, they can rebuild your body any which way, can't they?
They can grow things now, can't they?
Of course they can, right? Not if you ask my wife. I mean, try the scampi. Now, what do you think? Well, I don't know. You're both fine men, but if you could have someone else's head, whose would it be? It could be living or dead.
Wow. Brad is up for Brad's sale.
Yeah. You'd obviously have to kill him first.
Obviously. Yeah. Unless Angelina does it first.
Yeah. Does it include the brain? Do you take their brain as well?
Well, I think you do. I think pedantically you do.
So
yeah.
Then you then change then as
Winston
a person?
Churchill? Something like that?
Wasn't a looker, though. Good thinker.
Yeah. I would take Leonardo DiCaprio's head.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. I think
there are other parts of his body that have had a better time, actually.
You think so?
Looking back over the years.
Well.
But yeah, Leo's a good shout.
Yeah, I would look weird with a different skin tone, perhaps. So I'd always wear maybe like turtlenecks. But I think I'd take Leonardo DiCaprio's head.
It does raise sort of interesting ethical and also cosmetic questions about, I mean, I suppose, you know, ultimately they will be able to do this. There was that lady who tragically was attacked by a dog.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they were able to do a sort of face transplant. And she looked completely different. But she, unfortunately, she passed away recently. But she looked amazing. And they did a... But her face was completely... She had the face of someone else.
Yeah.
So I suppose, I mean, they can already do that.
I mean, taking, like, patches of skin and things to rebuild a face, I think, makes sense. But, I mean, transplanting
a head. David Beckham?
Oh,
just for a day or two would be nice, wouldn't it? Just to give it a go.
Yes, but then it would be such a downgrade on the body, wouldn't it?
But they don't know that. Once you're naked,
exactly.
It's very, very rarely will people.
David Beckham's let his body go, hasn't he?
Once you're on those dirty hotel sheets, it doesn't matter.
Do you get to choose the body? I'll have the abs, please. The one with all the muscles.
Less pec.
You could put together
the fine specimen you want.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a bad thought, is it? I quite like the idea of it. I tell you what I also want to ask you about, and it's very, very interesting because it gets people in hot water, is sexting, okay?
Ooh.
And it's our final story because the clock's against us. Are these the most epic sexting fails ever? Very awkward but hilarious. Attempts at sending dirty messages will leave you cringing. Sometimes sending a suggestive text, otherwise known as a sex, can spice up a relationship. That is unless you make a hideously embarrassing sexting blunder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, we've got a guy who texts someone, he said hello, and they said, tell me something that will make me wet, go outside, it's raining, try again, don't use an umbrella. Tell me something that will make me wet, I'm not wearing any pants, did it work, try again, I'm not wearing any pants but I have socks on, this is for you, who is this, sorry, wrong number, well, more like a thong number, you can keep the picture anyway. Wow, it's quite shocking, isn't it? Have you done it. Sexting?
No, not really.
No,
it's kind of skipped our age,
yeah, well, when we were younger, like you couldn't really sex because you didn't have phones, like, really. We could, like, flirt in person, but...
You would have had to send, like, a telex.
Yeah.
Like a sexy...
They were just flirty texts,
a sax.
It
should come through really... A sax. Yeah, that's very nice.
A sax. But no, it wouldn't work.
No.
Not those days.
See, it is that technology defines it. Well, I'm old enough to remember heavy breathing.
Oh, the
cone, which was confusing. Yeah. And my uncle had quite bad asthma, so I never knew whether I'd got lucky... Or he just wants to go for a beer with my dad.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of our friends are getting married, so I don't know if they'd want to spice up their relationship.
One thing before I go, speaking of spice up the relationship, in the week that Brangelina have split and parted company, there's been an amusing social media story about bumping into your exes in embarrassing places. Mm. Have you done that? Because I can tell you that I very rarely see my exes... Ex. Sandra. Yeah. But basically, I did a gig once, and then my ex was in the audience. I mean, that's a terrible way to see.
Did she know? Did she know you were performing?
Yeah.
Oh.
She came to see me, like, oh, let's go and see Mark now. I was like, water under the bridge. It's been a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
But I was, like, horrified. Mm, I just thought that was a... Because, you know, the pressure on that gig to be good.
Yeah. Oof. Also, any jokes you may have about her...
Most of it was like, I'm like Adele. I just talk about my life. Have you bumped into exes? The thing is, I suppose it's a question of whether you stay friends or not, isn't it? That's the big dilemma.
Well, my wife is a teacher, and I was at one of her events. I think the kids were doing a Christmas pageant, and tottering in high heels and a tiny skirt was my ex.
No.
Yeah, and this was just at a church. Like, we were living in London when we were together. This is a church in Surrey. And then she was dating one of the dads. Ooh. From my wife's school.
Daddy, this is just all over the shop, isn't it?
Yeah, awful, yeah. Awful. I was like, I've been stalked all the time. Yeah. And she's dating a dad.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to be stalking both of you.
Ooh.
Online and in person. I can't wait for the video. Man crush, it's a FUBAR exclusive. By the way, I would have done a sort of sting, like FUBAR exclusive, when you said that, but we don't get many exclusives.
Oh.
So the imaging team here haven't bothered to do a FUBAR exclusive sting, just because there's not much call for it around these parts. However, we might have to do it now. Man crush, out in the autumn.
Yes.
Yes.
A perfect stocking filler, eventually.
Oh, yeah. For any child.
Clearly. Perfect. And keep up the great work. You guys are amazing, and you've been brilliant today. Thank you
Thank
for coming
you.
To our
Thank
show.
You.
You just have to go on the web. You have to go on YouTube and stick in Noah and Jordan. It's all there. Find out why. I've been Mark Dolan. You've been awesome. We're playing out with a few bars of Jimi Hendrix. Thank you for listening. See you next week. The inimitable sound of Jimi Hendrix. Keep it FUBAR!